Hello, welcome to the Similar Tastes podcast, season two of formerly known as Gaze Into the Blue Light. We're Similar Tastes now. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm Nikki.
And we're here for episode two of season two. Very exciting. Now we've got some good stuff in store. In the coming episode, you can expect to hear some our first on-location report, which is going to be exciting, from the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum. We're also going to talk about a couple meals we've had recently. Of course, introduce a delicious new wine that we're sipping. Then talk about a couple things we've been watching. New season of Top Chef. Mm-hmm. Try not to serve anything spoiled. And then hot new movie, Triangle of Sadness, that we watched the other day. We're happy to chat about that. Let's get it started.
Hello, we are reporting to you live from the Art Museum steps. This is a new thing for the podcast. We've never done this before.
On location.
On location, in the moment, discussion about our experience with city bikes. We just took the city bikes out for an hour.
Indigo.
Indigo, they're called here in Philly. So we thought we would just give you a quick little rating recap of our experience. This is pretty cool, right?
We're right here on the front steps at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, aka the Rocky Steps. Mm-hmm. Beautiful sunshiny day, lots of people around. Ice cream trucks, traffic, lots of people doing the Rocky Run. Rocky Run up the stairs.
So what did you think about the just overall experience of getting set up with the app and like getting up and running on the bikes?
It was pretty easy. I wish I would have downloaded the Indigo app before I arrived.
Yep.
Because you have to put in your information and make a profile, but it was easy enough. And my one concern was that there wouldn't be enough bikes on a sunny Sunday afternoon at the art museum, but there were enough bikes.
Oh yeah, plenty of bikes. Plenty of bikes. I agree. It was easy to get it set up. What was it? $15 for an hour?
$15 for a 24-hour pass, and you can have as many hour-long rides as you want.
Oh, okay. That's actually a much better deal.
If you go over an hour, you have to pay a little rate, 7 cents an hour or something like that.
You see, they have the park. I'm looking because they have the parkway blocked off after the next fountain up. It looks like there might be a race. Do you think that's what it is?
No, I don't think it's a race.
Oh.
I don't know. There's
really?
There might be like tents or something up there.
Well, we're about to find out because after we get done talking to you guys, we are going to walk down the parkway to Victory Brewing to have a beer. I am tired after an hour long ride. I mean, like, when's the last time you rode a bike?
Ooh. It's been a while since I rode a bike, I think.
Yeah, seriously. When is... I'm really trying to think.
I guess when we lived in Eugene.
Yeah, we didn't ride bikes on any vacations. Yeah, oh my god, last time Eugene. So it's been like over 3 years since I've ridden a bike. But hey, I mean, you know what they say, it's just like riding a bike.
That's exactly what they say.
So, you know, we picked it back up. I would say what are your overall thoughts of like the bikes, just like the overall setup and ride feel?
I would say I'm usually a skeptic when it comes to like things that you access, that the public has access to as well, you know, or like reserving things. I always think it's going to be like dumb and janky and not work, but it was pretty easy. All the bike was easy to set up, and
The path was nice, a little crowded, I think, because there was a rowing, seemed like a rowing competition happening. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit more traffic on the path than usual, mm-hmm. but I found it comfortable and easy to use. And then there was a little electric assist you could turn on if you needed a little extra bump up the slight incline. So, and then returned. Initially, I thought an hour wasn't going to be enough time, but it was enough time to get out, take a few photos, and come back.
Beautiful trees along the way. Everything's in bloom, like lots of nice cherry blossoms, other trees on the path. It was really pretty and got to see a lot of people having picnics, which I love. Mm-hmm. It always feels like super international. I don't know, to see people like just in parks having picnics to me feels like so cool. I had a little trouble adjusting to the bike. It's very, very heavy. And there's only three gears, so I felt like it was kind of hard to find the, like, the perfect gear to be in. The electric assist was really nice, but my seat was a little janky. So I feel like that's, like, nice to have your own bike if you're going to do this more often. But, I agree. It was kind of crowded, which makes it hard. Like, I almost wish there was, like, one bike path and one people path, because people like definitely outnumber the bikes on the path.
You could also take it down, I think Martin Luther King is blocked off.
Oh yeah, that's right, they blocked that off on Sundays. Yeah, that's
over
true
to the other side of the path. Yeah, other side of the river would be less crowded.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Yeah, but it's do you have to say it's a windy day. We tried to take a selfie and we set the camera up on one of the bikes and it was counting down from 10, and not a joke, literally when it was about to turn one, the wind blew it down. So nice.
Great photo.
Thanks for ruining our photo, wind.
Ruined.
Any other comments?
No. If you're looking for a quick sunny day activity in Philadelphia, I'd recommend it.
Yes. Definitely. Very fun. And then come sit on the steps. People watch. If you're not too tired, run up the steps and then walk down to Victory for some beers.
Or a Mr. Softy ice cream.
Oh, yeah. That's true. All right. Well, enjoy your day.
We're out.
Out.
So that was our very first report on location.
Mm-hmm. Live reporting.
Live.
Coming to you live.
It wasn't exactly live. I mean, it was live while we did it.
Right.
But
actually was in the past. It was on April 2nd.
But hopefully we'll do more on location reporting. That would be fun.
I would love that.
And from various interesting locales all around. To get us started, do you want to introduce us to this episode's wine?
Mm-hmm. I would love to. So, this episode's wine is called Gulp Pablo. And on the front, it's an orange wine. It's a little sedimenty, orange natural wine. On the front, it has a picture of an old-timey weightlifter. And instead of barbells, it's wooden kegs of wine, barrels of wine, I would assume. Long, curly mustache. Cute picture. Super cute. The back, so this says white wine from Spain.
Yes.
But it's not white. I guess it must be skin contact orange. Well, look, here it says orange hue from skin fermented white grapes.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, yeah. And then Steve has a little more of a description from his wine app. What's the app called again?
Starting last episode, we started checking in our wines on Vivino.
Vivino.
And so I checked in this wine, Gulp Pablo Verdejo. It's a Spanish wine from La Mancha.
I think it's also a bigger bottle. Right? It looks bigger. Oops. It's 1.5 liters, maybe?
Slightly bigger bottle, yeah. The taste characteristics are orange, citrus, and grapefruit, which I do agree. It tastes very... It's got a orange juicy...
Mm.
Orange juicy flavor to me. I think orange is very prominent.
This would be the perfect summer wine. It would be a perfect picnic wine. It would be perfect if you were in Spain having a picnic or on the beach. I mean, we're here.
I mean, here. Yeah. Yeah. Sitting outside for a meal would be yummy.
Yeah.
Being near some water.
It's really good.
Picnic. It's very refreshing.
Yeah. Chilled. It's chilled.
I like to feature. Remember last week?
Oh, yeah. Let's feature a review.
I'm going to feature a review here.
Are you going to look for a good review or a weird one?
I mean, all the reviews that I'm seeing right now about Gulp Hablo Verdejo are positive.
Since we're going to talk about bad meals, why don't you find a bad review?
Oh, okay.
If you go up to the top, you can click on the one stars.
So just for reference, I rated this 4.2 stars.
Oh, wow.
Out of five.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's good.
Let's see. Who gave it a one?
Did they say anything? Oh, they didn't say anything.
Key winner. You gave it.
I mean, if you're going to do a
one. Oh, wait, that's three. No one gave it one star. There only one person gave it three stars.
Oh.
So it does not get very bad reviews.
Wow. Okay.
It's going to be tough to find a negative review.
Oh, yeah,
review
it will
here.
Be. Well, just find a good one then.
And the one that gave a negative review didn't say anything. So, that's
wow.
interesting.
Thanks. It's helpful.
Helpful, Key Wen. Well, this one is 3.8, which is one of the lowest that it gets.
Okay.
Sessionable!
Oh.
Exclamation point. Light and inoffensive on the palate. Smells funky, but tastes like citrus rind and grapefruit.
I would agree with that review.
That's
but that's
Emily
a
Grimm.
Pretty low rating.
Emily Grimm. She really prefers reds. 88%
okay.
of her
old reds.
Her wines are reds.
Maybe that's why she gave it a low rating.
Right. Her top styles are Tuscan red, Californian Ooh. Red blend, and Northern Italy red. So generally,
those are bold.
Emily,
bold
this
reds.
Emily, this wine was a bit of a reach for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
but she said it's sessionable.
She did, which is a good, you can enjoy many glasses.
I agree.
And I agree that it's inoffensive on the palate. I like that she described it as inoffensive. And I kind of hope that that's what's on my tombstone.
It's inoffensive?
Just basically just like inoffensive on the palate.
Wow, I'll remember that.
You know?
I mean, I have it recorded. So.
Generally speaking, the guy was inoffensive. And smells funky. That one.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think it smells funky. That's where I'm going to disagree with you, Emily Grimm.
I think it has a bit of a funk. Just a
little
bit.
I think it's less funky than most orange
yeah,
wines.
Yeah, yeah.
But, we agree with you, Emily Grimm, user on Vivino. Featured review.
You're the featured review. And the bottle, the color of the wine is orange, and then the design of the bottle also has a lot of orange in it. So it's a really nice looking bottle.
If you're showing up to a little
summer picnic
with friends,
oh my
you
God.
Show up with a bottle of this Gulp Hablo, you'll be the talk
star
of the
show.
Picnic.
Yep.
Everyone will be like, "Oh, did you see what?
Wow, Steve's so cool. Oh my
yeah,
God. Did you see what wine he brought? Wow. So cool.
So refreshing.
And I think it was very reasonably priced. I think it was around $20. And it's, like I said, it's a larger bottle of wine. So
Vivino lists it as $21.99.
Yeah.
So you could find it where we got it at the local 44 bottle shop
mm-hmm.
here.
But don't eat their food. We'll
West
talk about
Philly.
That.
Don't eat there. With select items, but
yeah, you're
you
right. We
shouldn't be spending too much money for this bottle of wine.
No,
perfect for a picnic.
Super reasonable.
Yeah, not a bad thing. You know,
yeah.
For those people that just are like, oh, I should bring wine. Ooh,
what should I do?
I'm not sure. If it's sunny and it's outdoors,
bring this wine.
A Gulp Hablo orange, it's delicious.
Do it.
Do
you
want
to talk about?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to avoid
why
a negative topic, but as you said, we should make mention that not all of our experiences dining out are positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last night we were like, oh, we're going to record a podcast. And so let's tell the folks what we've been up to. We've been sick this week.
Oh yeah. Life update. Huh?
Life update. We had a horrible stomach virus this week.
Well, last weekend we were visiting family.
We must have picked up something from the kiddos.
Rugrats.
Not surprising. And so we had a horrible stomach virus and were nearly dead.
I think we were
incapacitated. I think we are in our new life now.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I died.
I think so too. It was the sickest I've been in like as long as I can remember. Like sicker than COVID. It was heinous.
I have a few hangovers that were worse.
What?
But didn't last as long.
Oh my God.
Like,
no.
I was thinking, when's the last time I barfed? And it has been a really, really long time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the last time I threw up.
Ooh,
before this
man.
Past weekend. Unpleasant.
Oh, it was horrible. Anyway, we won't belabor you with the disgusting details, but we were finally feeling better yesterday, Friday. So we were like, let's go out. It's like beautiful, 80 degrees. So we went to Local 44, which is pretty close to where we are. We've been there before. We mostly just go there they have a really good happy hour. So they have a couple of really nice wines for $8 on happy hour, which is may sound expensive depending on where you're living, but in Philly that's like pretty cheap for a glass of wine out, like for a nice glass of wine and not like a shitty house wine. And so we went and we did that, and then we were like, we hadn't really felt like eating all week, so I was kind of like, do you want to eat something? Like, should we just order like a little bit of food? And so we were trying to get something that would be, you know, okay for our stomachs. So we ordered a veggie burger to share, and it came with French fries. And we got an appetizer to share of charred broccolini with smoked tofu. And it had like a chili oil, which didn't end up being super great for our stomachs probably, but it was not a good meal. It was, I'll review it first and then Steve can hop in with a review. The veggie burger was so weird. I think it was made in house and it had like lentils. The menu description was lentils and kidney beans, I think, but it just had like whole kidney beans like falling out. Like they weren't even like ground in. Like usually a veggie burger, they're sort of like mixed in, just whole kidney beans. Like, what is that? And that had a weird slaw on it, which was actually probably the best part.
It was definitely something that was frozen and just thrown on the.
You think?
I think so.
Oh, okay. See,
it seemed like any Morningstar random frozen veggie burger that you could get at the store.
Those are better, in my opinion. Mm. Like, I felt like this was handmade because I've not like literally never had a veggie burger that had a whole kidney beans in it. Whole. Anyway, not good. French fries were the best part of the meal. We should have just got French fries and ketchup. The charred broccolini, you could only eat the very top because the stalks were really super chewy. Smoked tofu was really good. That was the best part of that whole thing. The chili crunch was really good, but just not for our current state. But we didn't even, like, it is rare that Steve and I do not finish plates. At a restaurant, and we left like half the food. I think it was not good.
I was largely disappointed.
1 out of 5 stars.
1 out of 5. 0.5. Dipping sub 1 right off the bat.
0.5 out of 5.
I didn't even know we were rating.
0.5 out of 5.
Jeez.
Go ahead.
I would say it had a couple good things. One, I liked the smoked tofu, and it made me want to try to make my own.
Yeah. I did get firm tofu today.
And if you ate just the end of the broccolini, it was pretty good. I made the mistake of eating a whole one and was like a cow chewing cud. Like I was like a grazing goat just gnawing on a
grass.
Like I'm in a pasture. Like I paid $15 to eat something I could have gone in a field and dug out.
So it had a couple nice things, but there weren't, it wasn't enough tofu. Like the broccolini was the main thing. The tofu was just, so they should switch it and do smoked tofu as the main thing.
With just the tops of the broccolini.
Just a little bit of broccolini tops on the sides would be good. That would be
my. Steve spit out this huge, huge cud of stock, and there was a flower thing next to us, and he was like, "Should I just put it in here?"
Fertilizer.
And I was like, "No, you just put it on your plate."
And on the veggie burger, guard burger, there's a reason I don't order them, and it's because I don't like them. And
well, then why didn't you say that?
Because I wanted to try.
We were trying to be virtuous. I'm
trying to be healthy. Should have just had the burger.
Trying to be healthy, just have the burger.
It's but great. it had a the burger part was disgusting, but the slaw on top was kind of a jicama.
Yeah. That was good.
Like a radish type slaw. That was delicious. Yeah. I ate all of that.
Yeah.
It
just made the burger hard to eat though, because it was like falling out and it tasted good, but it was just like awkwardly constructed too.
Yeah, it was weird.
Oh.
But otherwise, no, the rest of it wasn't really very good.
No.
But I think the more important part is that bad meals happen.
Bad meals happen, but I think what I wanted, oh, you didn't rate it out of 5.
Oh, I had to, what did you do? 0.5.
0.5.
Oh, I feel like that's ruthless.
It was
1.
Disgusting.
I'll go 1. I was unsatisfied because, well, okay, also because it was Friday happy hour.
Yeah.
And I think part of the mistake was our ordering also. Well, 1, I didn't like the food, but
no, I would not.
I also think it wasn't matching what we were looking for. Like,
no, yeah,
like broccolini, smoked tofu, and a veggie burger is like a Tuesday night meal when you're trying to like be conscious about what you're eating. Friday night, happy
like
hour.
French fries, wings, burger.
You know, and we were trying to be angelic, and we really should have just been like, "It's Friday night, not Friday night, Friday evening." Like, mm-hmm. It's happy hour. It was a tough week. Let's splurge and get something that we know is like.
Well, we were trying to be healthy. That's what happens when you try to be healthy.
So, poo-poo on Local 44 for the food. It could be improved. Those two options. Oh. The other things could be. Would be better. The fries that came with the burger.
The fries are good.
Which I'm going to give, that's going to bump it up to 2 out of 5.
Oh, God.
I love the French fries.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can make French fries.
That's
not
going to
really change it for me.
I don't think that's true. You can't just.
Really?
No, you can't just.
When's the last time you had a bad French fry?
Any French fry to be good.
List the last time you had a bad French fry.
Instead, I'm going to say why the Local 44 French fries are exemplary.
Okay.
Because you could just make a random ass French fry,
mm-hmm.
frozen from a bag, and just throw it in there, and everybody's going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
But these were good. They have seasoning. They're like long, kind of. They're my preferred style of French fry.
Okay. It's
kind of a longer cut, softer.
Little skin on.
Skin on, and really, really nice and salty and good, dipped in just a little bit of ketchup.
Yeah.
So that's going to bump it up for me.
I feel
like that was the shining star, the French fries, and I would get French fries there again.
Yeah.
So you asked for a rating.
All right.
2.
Great.
2. 2. Mostly 5. Bolstered by the French fries.
2 out of 5. Yep. All right. Well, so the reason I thought it would be good to talk about bad meals is, for to your point, yes, bad meals happen. We don't always have amazing meals. I think that's why I try to do reviews ahead of time, though, right? Like, don't you feel like that's where reviews can really come in handy? Like, I don't like
you
to rely.
Reviews,
yeah, like Yelp reviews or something where you're like, hey, let's go out to eat. And like, you look at it reviews and you're like, oh, yeah, it looks really good. Because to me, like, there's like nothing more disappointing than paying money for a bad meal. It really, really pisses me off.
I will validate that by saying that if you eat a bad meal, you will talk about that bad meal for, it could be years.
I hate to waste money on, like, going out to eat is expensive, and I hate to waste money on food that is shit that I could have made better myself. And it's just really upsetting to me to waste money on something like that. Now, I wanted to read you something. I think everyone probably knows I'm a big Anthony Bourdain fan that is my friend that's listening. So he had a quote, because I thought about this when I was thinking about bad meals. He said, be open to experience, be willing to try new things, don't have a rigid plan, accept random acts of hospitality without judgment or fear, don't be afraid to wander, don't be afraid to eat a bad meal. If you don't risk the bad meal, you never get the magical one. What do you think about that?
I think that's exactly what you need to be reading.
I know, but like, as much as I hate to say it, like, I don't know, I kind of disagree. I hate eating a bad meal, and I am afraid of it. It upsets me.
Well, I think the value of having something you don't like or experiencing something you don't like is that it helps you understand what you do like.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's fair. What other bad meals have you had? I thought it'd be fun to just, can you think of other, like, bad meals that you've had out? Like,
I don't
out to eat.
Hold an encyclopedical, whatever it is, ridiculously detailed and cataloged memory of every meal I've had.
I don't either. I can only think of one other bad meal that comes to mind.
What,
you really can't think of any other bad
I'll
meals.
Think while you're...
I had a really disappointing and sad meal in Rome.
You talk sadly. About it like someone died.
I really had it was a really sad experience. Our good friends had just, we were there. Our good friends had just flown in, Mario and Karen. We went to, where did we go? Pantheon?
Parthenon. Pantheon is.
Oh shit. Where's Pantheon? Greece. Yes. Parthenon. We went to the Parthenon. We were like walking around. It was the best thing ever. We were so excited that they were there. We got some gelato, and then we were like, let's get some food, because it was so, so hot, and we wanted a break from the sun, so we didn't have time to do a lot of thinking or research, and we were just like, let's just pop in here, and so we went in, and we all ordered some stuff. Everybody else's things seemed to be fine enough, and they liked them, but I ordered carbonara, and this was a touristy place, I imagine, maybe, since it was so close to all the attractions, and my carbonara had scrambled eggs in it. Like, it's just unbelievable. And hey, guess what? I know how hard it is to make carbonara. I've tried numerous times. I've failed. I've made it with scrambled eggs. I just recently only made it for the first time without having to be scrambled eggs. So I know how hard it is, but it's just like, this is a restaurant in Rome. Like, you can't serve me carbonara with scrambled eggs. And I should have sent it back, but I don't always want to send food back because I know it makes other people uncomfortable, especially you. I think you get uncomfortable when I've sent food back.
Okay. I need to just step in and say a couple things.
Yeah, please.
First thing is, scrambled eggs is a typical breakfast meal. So if, say, carbonara was scrambled eggs, but I'm going to make sure, I think it's overcooked eggs. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, overcooked, but they end up being scrambled eggs in pasta. Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like,
I know,
having
but
pasta,
it's not,
and then,
I know,
mixing,
I know,
scrambled eggs.
I know,
into
I,
it.
Just, I know, just saying. It's not scrambled eggs. It's overcooked eggs.
That become scrambled.
Anyway, it's
very
delicate.
Are we going to split hairs here? It's scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs is a dish that you order.
Whatever.
If eggs
Next
are
point.
If eggs are part of a dish and they're overcooked, then they're overcooked eggs.
Okay.
Some,
we can agree to disagree with the description
rules.
Of this.
Anyway, the point of the matter is, it's a delicate process,
yeah,
from what I understand.
And they effed it up.
And they overcooked the eggs.
Yeah.
In carbonara, in Rome.
In Rome.
A travesty.
It's a travesty.
But.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that was the only other bad meal that I can think of. I mean, maybe I can remember that because I think it does disappoint me because I think especially maybe it's okay to eat bad meals like in your own town because you're like, oh, whatever, I live here. Like, it's not a big deal. But I feel like eating a bad meal on vacation is especially disappointing because you're like, I'm only here for a week and I only have like 21 meals or whatever, and like this one sucked. So like that's unfortunate.
So we have two things. One, I think there's a fine line where like you can spend all day standing on a hot street corner looking at all the reviews to try to find right. the most perfect meal, or as the quote you mentioned, you can pop in somewhere and take a risk. You might find, you might hit it and it might be delicious and you discovered something really amazing.
Yeah.
Or you might miss and it's not going to be good. But if you spend the whole time sitting there reading all the reviews, then like you're not going to enjoy the experience. Or someone could say, oh, this was really good. And then you go there for it. And then your opinion of it is.
Yeah. That it wasn't as good.
Your opinion is affected by that other person's review.
That's true.
The second thing is your thoughts on sending food back. It does not bother me.
Okay.
I don't care.
Well, then I'm going to send stuff back.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, that's a, I feel like that's a whole topic of conversation. It's like, do you send food back at a restaurant? Because a lot of people just won't.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Why do you think they won't? Because people are like, oh, they're going to spit in it or whatever.
I mean, I didn't go right there, but I guess that could be a thing that somebody would think about. I mean, you are already putting yourself at a pretty big risk of like getting some other random person that you most of the time can't see to make your food. And generally speaking,
that doesn't really bother me.
Who knows who's going to be back there, but I think it's a social thing. And I'm not comfortable returning food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually a type of person that's just like, oh, whatever, like, I'll eat it. I don't care. But if it's something like way, like, not what I ordered or, like, you know, not definitely not done the right way, then I would return it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that is really comfortable because it throws everything off. The carefully balanced choreography of eating a meal out is all very like it's timed, especially here in the States. Like it's a very well rehearsed dance that we've all been through all the time. Mm-hmm. And then sending food back is like throws everything off because you're going to sit there without any food.
Well, yeah. And then everyone else is eating and you're like, sorry, it's okay. You guys can eat. It's fine. Don't wait for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
it does make other people uncomfortable, I think, because then they don't know what to do. Like, do they eat in front of you?
Yeah, they feel bad for you. It's like,
oh, sorry, do you want some of mine?
It's like when they don't time the orders correctly.
Oh,
and like,
that's
somebody, like, three of the four people all get their meals, and then there's one person sitting there, which is like...
It's okay, you guys can start.
Oh, God, that's so dumb. Like, a kitchen should... A kitchen should really like when to put fire to certain dishes and what takes a certain amount of time and then get them all out together because that's just ridiculous.
Oh man, you know what I just thought of? Didn't you, like in terms of bad meals and sending stuff back, didn't you tell me that when you worked in a restaurant, like someone sent a steak back and they were like, this isn't the right cooked or whatever, like it needs to be cooked more. And you just like put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds and then they were like, that was the best steak I ever had.
That wasn't
didn't
me.
Didn't that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like when you run the grill at a restaurant and people send meat back.
Mm-hmm.
If it's undercooked, I mean, you have a long list of orders and lots of different meats on a grill that you're keeping track of. Like, the last thing that you really want to do is look after somebody's meat because it didn't come out how they wanted it.
They so should have ordered at the next level up, is my opinion.
Toss it in the microwave. I'm just saying, like, you do run... I wouldn't say it's necessarily a risk if the problem is, like... real. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is not right. This isn't what I wanted. Whatever. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be mad at you, but you do run the risk of being of having to wait or getting your food tossed in the microwave or whatever.
Oh my. But I did think of another bad meal.
In which case you deserve it if you ordered something, if you ordered a piece of meat and it came out exactly how you ordered it, but you send it back. I mean, that's diner problem of not knowing what you want. If you ordered it rare and it shows up like a bike tire, like that's
you better send it back.
The kitchen's fault. But yeah. If you ordered it rare and it shows up and it looks rare and you're like, ew, I don't want it.
Ew, this is bloody. And it's like, yeah, it's rare. Like, you ordered it rare. Eat it.
Do you have another bad meal?
Yeah, but I want to see if you have another one. Or, I mean, if you have one that you want to talk about.
Bad meals.
Hey, I mean, not, like you said, not everyone has freakish memory like mine to recount like every detail of your life.
One time I ordered a Philly cheesesteak and I ordered it in Eugene, Oregon. So that was problem number one. Like, there are certain things, like if you're gonna get a Philly cheesesteak, like just order it when you're in Philly, because I don't know, it's like, you know.
Yeah, but the thing was, those dudes were supposed to be from Philly.
No, this was at another place.
Oh, I thought that was when Alec told you about, and he was like, "Yeah, these dudes are from Philly, and like they were like bred in special or whatever."
They had a little food cart, and they had okay cheesesteaks.
Oh, okay.
But I ordered it from just like a random sandwich place, and they put nacho cheese, like Tostitos,
what,
like jar dipping sauce on top of it, and it was pretty horrendous,
ridiculous.
But
that's not good.
I don't know.
That's not good.
I feel like it's.
Wait, didn't we hate that? What about that one place in Eugene that we hated? They did the Roy Choi thing. Remember, they were like, yeah, we went to LA and tried to meet Roy Choi.
Confusion. Which I don't even know if we ate at one time and then.
And it wasn't good.
We just
mercilessly made fun of them the whole time we were there because did the owner say that to us? Like, we were talking to them.
Yeah.
Confusion. So to give you context, it's like a, it's a fusion of Mexican and Korean, which is a pretty popular fusion, probably made most famous by Roy Choi in LA. And so these dudes were like, yeah, we went down to LA and tried to meet Roy Choi. And it's like, so that makes this good? Like, what?
I don't know. The problem starts with the name. Like,
Confusion. It was K-U-N, right? Oh my god. It's
calling something a name that no one likes.
Don't do
like
that.
Confusion, which is a state that no one wants to be in.
But it also is like, K-U-N, and I hate when people put a K for a C. That really upsets me.
Calling something like Sadness. It's like,
Sadness Food Truck.
Who wants to step up and get have a bite of Confusion? Like, no one is excited about that.
No,
personally,
no, they were annoying, and we just
we met
them once, and then we just relentlessly made fun of them for the next like 3 years.
Yeah, so I don't know if our reviews are really...
Guys, are we mean? I think we're actually mean and snobby. It's fine. We like, I'm really passionate about food, so I think I am a food snob. I'm okay to say it.
But at the same time, though, I mean, we should acknowledge that talking to someone and, like, eating that food one time, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should have gave it another... chance. Have you ever gone somewhere bad and then gone back and given it another chance? I have done that, and it did turn out well, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't have a catalog in my brain of the times.
I don't remember what that place was called, but it was also in Eugene. Remember it was like that Izakaya place?
Oh, Izakaya Meiji.
Izakaya Meiji. It's like the most popular restaurant in Eugene. Everyone loves it, and I went there once with you, and then I went, I don't know how many times I went there, but one time I went and it was horrible. It was really bad. I don't remember details, but I just remember leaving and being like, oh my God, that was so disgusting. Why is this the best restaurant in town? But then I did give it another chance and it was better. So maybe it's good to keep an open mind. Like you can just go on an off day or something. I don't know.
True. I think they also made the mistake of trying to do absolutely everything.
There. Oh my God.
Like
yeah.
Menu of 78 pages of like every mm-hmm. single thing that anyone could actually
no,
eat.
No, no. Those restaurants are always going to be bad, I would say. I'm going to make a broad sweeping statement and say that restaurants that have huge 78 page menus are all going to be bad. You can't do that much stuff.
I think it's a bad sign when you sit down and the menu has everything possible.
Yeah. From what there's like pizza, they have Asian food, they have tacos. It's just like, what is happening here? Yeah. Like what is going on?
And so you roll the dice about whether the selection you make is going to be good. I think they did have some good things, but they had small plates and like
it was small plates. Yeah,
there's just so many things happening there.
Can I talk about one last bad thing?
Oh my God!
Really?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, this is a podcast. What you do is talk. So
sorry if you guys don't like this podcast. There's going to be a lot of complaining, I guess. Maybe. I don't care.
No one listens anyway. So.
If you don't want to listen, you don't have to.
Okay, I'm not making any money. There's no ads.
Yeah, this
or
is just for our friends.
And I don't even care about them.
Rude! That's not true. He's joking. It's so rude. So I thought of this actually because I've been talking a lot lately to, well, not a lot, but I've been talking to Ursula, this lady from Eugene who I worked with, and she's also, I would consider her a mentor, and she retired from the place we worked at while I was out there. We've kept in touch ever since, and we do like FaceTimes and stuff, and she's coming to visit Philly with her husband in May, so we're gonna hang out with them. But her and I used to hang out and go on walks, and one time before we were going to Berlin, she's German. She's from Germany. She moved to the States when she was like in her 20s. So we were like, let's meet up and you can like give me some tips or whatever about Germany. And we'll just talk about, you know, travel, because she travels a lot. So we met up at that really, really, really cool place in Springfield that was like it kind of looked like a church, but it was like a, do you remember what I'm talking about? This was in Oregon, Springfield, Oregon. It was like a church, but it was also like a restaurant incubator, I want to say. It had a brewery, and then it had like different like small restaurants inside. So they had a like a German restaurant in there. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely. Yes.
So they had like, you know, kind of German, typical German fare, like sausages, sauerkraut. So they had a Doner kebab on the menu. And I was like, oh man. And like, I was doing lots of food research at that time. And that was definitely something I wanted to try when I was in Berlin, was a Doner kebab, which is essentially a sandwich and like a traditional kebab gyro like had a baby. Would you say that's an accurate description of a doner kebab? It's enormous.
I think so, yeah.
Because if a sandwich and a gyro had a baby, that's a doner kebab. And it's like just packed with meat, like that meat that they carve off of the spit. So I ordered it and we were having some drinks and it was ready and I went up to get it and I was eating it. I was like, where's the meat? Like, it was just like mostly lettuce. And I was like, where's the meat? Like, it's supposed to be like all meat. And I was like kind of looking around under lettuce and they just had tiny pieces of, ground hamburger or Hamburg, as my grandma would call it.
Hamburg.
Tiny pieces of ground hamburger and lettuce. And they called the stoner kebab. And I remember I wrote a really bad review. You could find it online. Like, I wrote it. That was when I had a different Yelp account and I was really mean. And I would just write like nasty reviews. Remember that winery I wrote a bad review of? And they end up giving us like a free, like private tasting or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were rude to us. Anyway, that's a different story. But I wrote a bad review and I was like, this is a bastardization to call this a doner kebab. Like, you should be embarrassed. And I was literally sitting there with a German person and she was like, yeah, that's not legit. Like, that's not a real thing.
Well, that's like the Pacific Northwest style of taking something that is famous in another place and then making it healthy and terrible. It's generally like their standard.
Like those Yum Bowls.
Think of anything new. God. They find something old that other people like, and then
those goddamn Yum Bowls. If I had to see another one of those and hear people talk about it, anyway. So when I wrote the bad review, though, they responded to me and they were like, "Thanks for your review, but we're a small food truck and we don't have capacity to make a spit, and we really want to have doner kebab on the menu. What would you do if you were us?" Like, in like such a Pacific Northwest way. "What would you do if you were us?" And I was like, "I wouldn't make a doner kebab if I couldn't have a spit. Don't make it, or else don't call it that, because it's not, and it's annoying." End of story.
To continue your story,
I got very heated about that.
The place is called Public House.
Yeah.
In Springfield, Oregon. And the beer in the chapel is the best part.
Oh my God. It is such a cool place. If you are ever in Springfield, you should go there so you can see the Simpsons mural, which is really badass. But you should also go to this place. And it's a church. Like, it's an, like, and they still have it looking like a church. So you're just drinking beer at a brewery in a church, and then you can order food, but don't order the doner kebab.
If it makes you feel better, now the restaurants there are Moy Poke Grill, Northwest Burgers, Pizza Q, Tonali Latin Kitchen, and a Donuts and Shave Ice place, and then a place called Squatchos.
I hope that German place went out of business.
All due to your review.
It was so bad.
Or their decision to serve something called doner kebab. I'd question a lot about you if you decided to eat at a place called Squatchos.
Describe what they serve. Do they have like a description?
Squatchos nachos.
Oh my God.
Talking shit on a place I've never been. So
I know, but what, like,
pulled pork, cheesesteak. Chili nachos, nope. Fancy dogs, quesadillas, stuffed pretzel sandwiches, paninis, and lots of pub grub. Mm. Squatchos nachos.
No, I don't like that.
Well, luckily you don't live there, so you don't have to go.
Oh my God.
But if anyone's been there and you want to be like, hold up, Squatchos nachos is
call us out.
Dope.
Tell us.
It's got the best stuffed pretzel sandwiches.
Let us know, ever. Brent, if you're listening. Brent probably stopped listening because we talk so much shit about Oregon.
He's like, you know what?
These people suck.
But I would definitely drink beer in the cathedral part.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Northwest Burgers I went to before. I mean,
Did you?
It's not a bad burger. It's a good burger.
The pizza in Oregon I wasn't a fan of. It was Pacific Northwest style pizza, which is not East Coast style pizza, which is fine. If you are not from the East Coast and you're from the Pacific Northwest, the pizza there would be really good. It would be good, but it wasn't good as someone who's from the East Coast.
I mean, it's all about what you want. Me, I want Squatchos nachos.
Squatchos nachos.
The ability of people in the Pacific Northwest to capitalize on Sasquatch is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
I mean, the amount of things that have to do with Sasquatch is really
squatching out
so much Sasquatch up there. Like, making so many branded things off of something that no one has seen, and no one that you would believe has seen and doesn't exist, is just really impressive.
It's impressive.
And of a strange word with an odd letter in it.
Where did it originate from, Sasquatch? Like the whole like thing of it. Do you know like how it started?
I don't have a clue.
Or when?
I don't know. Sasquatch is Sasquatch, but the ability for people to just be like, I'm a small business. What can I do to use this mythical creature to be part of my brand? Remember the Emeralds games?
Racing
Sasquatch? I mean,
do we have anything like that here?
But like, it's just amazing to name your nacho store with a Sasquatch influence.
We have a Rocky situation here. Like, he's not a real person. That's a fictional character.
Fair point.
I'm just saying.
That's true. I mean, we do a lot of, I feel like a lot of places try to make money off of the Rocky shtick.
Yep.
That's true. But Rocky, a boxer, I feel like is a little bit more marketable than like
a fictitious character. Kind of like you think it's really large,
fake? Smelly, creepy looking, scary myth monster through the woods, and you're going to name your nacho store after and your soaps, the Dr. Squatch soaps.
That just reminded me that we should, if it does end up getting dark and rainy, we should watch Blair Witch Project. Remember we were going to watch that? Because it's about being in the woods and creepy, so it made me think of that. It's the way my brain works. But anyway, we can talk about that later. But remember, I wanted to ask you, remember when we were driving out to Oregon and we were like, first got into Oregon, we were still in like the really like eastern part of it, where it was just like all those like open lands. And we were so tired and we were like, oh my God, we got to stop and camp. Like it's ready. Like we're ready to sleep for the night. And it was a really creepy place. Remember we felt kind of scared that like that could be like a place where Sasquatch was. We were like, oh my God, this is creepy.
Yeah. There, it had a weird vibe.
Did one of us see something? I have a weird like memory that one of us saw something and we were like, oh my God, we got to go. So, like, this is a place where Sasquatch is. Like, he's going to get us.
I have a memory of driving for 72 straight hours and then driving through there in the dusk and pulling off and going to take a whiz off the side of the road and thinking, did I just see something in the trees? I need...
We might have been hallucinating from driving so long.
Stop driving or get out of here.
Oh my God. Yeah, we didn't stay there though. We jetted out. And we also heard like gunshots too. And it's like, because that you can like just shoot guns in public lands there.
Yeah.
As liberal as Oregon is, their gun laws are wacky.
It's a lot like Pennsylvania. It's very liberal in some very select cities. Spots. Oh, and then otherwise, okay. I think it's pretty.
I got you. Yeah, we were like, guns and Sasquatch, we're out. So we end up driving, and I think we found a hotel after that. But that was our last night of driving. And then I think the next day we rolled into Eugene. I'm pretty sure.
Squatch out!
Squatch out!
All right, we've been talking for a while. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to review a couple things we've been watching.
Squatch out!
Squatch you later. Back from the break.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice break.
Yeah, I feel really refreshed.
Refilled the wine glass with more hablo gulpo.
I know, and I told Steve, I was like, he was like, hablo means I speak. And then I was like, I called it hablo. And he was like, you don't say the H in Spanish. And I was like, why didn't you correct me? And then tell them your idea for a podcast.
I think we should have a podcast called Autocorrect. And I just... You just sit and talk and I correct you.
Man corrects wife. That's the description. Autocorrect. Yeah. Man corrects wife. I had a really cool idea for a podcast last night, remember? Because Steve and I have started to watch sports together for a long time in our relationship, we've been together for like 17 million years. And for a long time, I didn't watch sports. I would watch Steelers games, like, because we would like have parties with friends on the weekend and it was a big deal. And we would watch Steelers and then we would just end up watching football all day. Remember Indiana days? It would just be like debauchery. It would just start out, we'd probably start out mimosas, go up to Subs and Suds, get a couple Sixers, pizzas, and just we just sat on the couch all day.
The Sunday football schedule is 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock.
We didn't have to worry about getting fat. We would just eat like multiple pizzas and wings and like guzzle down beer and be like, I still weigh 140 pounds. Yay! Anyway, that was fun when you could do that.
What were we talking about? Sports?
Well, so sports, yeah. So I would say I was watching sports more for the social aspect of it, and just hanging out, like eating, like chatting. So not really watching sports.
Western PA, you don't say the end of every word.
Chatting. But that was it. And you watched a lot of sports. You've always watched a lot of sports. I make fun of you sometimes because I'm like, oh, are you trying to find something else on TV where men are throwing a ball around, like some other game?
They don't always throw it.
Okay, where men are moving a ball around in some capacity.
You got auto-corrected.
Yeah.
Anyway. I could have a catchphrase and it'd be like, right. You got auto-corrected.
Auto-correct. That would be cool. But anyway, the other idea for a podcast now that I started to watch sports, meaning mostly basketball, I would say. I watch soccer sometimes, but I would say basketball is more my thing. Baseball too. But we have weird conversations because Steve makes comments about the game, like in terms of gameplay and things that actually have to do with the sport. And I'm like, why are his shorts so small? Is he okay? I'm worried about him. Is he sad? And it's just so weird. But I was like, what if we had a podcast that was like us watching sports and our conversation? It would be so strange.
There was the Sixers game last year. I don't know if we have Korkmaz anymore. I don't know if he still plays. I don't think he still plays for Ferdinand Korkmaz or something. And you said, he looks like he never showers and is just so smelly. And whenever he's out on the court, he probably hasn't showered. And like, that's his like secret weapon is that he just smells
so bad. So gross.
And he just is an awful smelling person. Ugh. And I don't know that I ever looked at him the same way after that.
Yeah. Remember how worried I always was about Tony Dungy? I was worried about him for a long time. But that's back in, like, the Steelers days when we did watch. So even back then, I think I was in it for, like, the emotional, like, aspect.
You want to feel empathy.
I was so worried about him. He was so sad for a long time.
Well, he went through a lot. I mean, I think his son died. And he didn't.
I hope he's okay. Do you think he's having a good life?
I think Tony Dungy is doing okay.
But why does he look so sad all the time?
I think he just
money
generally...
can't buy you happiness.
True. I mean, I don't think that Tony Dungy is a really, really sad person. I think he just generally has a sort of a resting sad face.
Resting. Some people have a resting sad face. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Anyway, that was a sidebar.
So
but
two possible podcast ideas. Autocorrect.
Man corrects wife.
Man corrects wife, which I think is really good.
Yeah, that will go over
and
well.
And then I don't know the name, but us watching sports, although
Sticky Watch Sports.
Sticky Watches Sports. Although it would just have to, we're not allowed to show sports like while we're watching them. So it would just have to be a audio recording of us.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Talking about something
you can't hear.
Some sporting event that you can't watch.
That's
which
kind of interesting.
Would be, I mean, you listen to sports broadcasts on the radio.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's kind of how I envisioned it. It was like a our own personal like sports broadcast like, of basketball games.
Oh wow! Okay, well, we could try it for a special episode, maybe.
We'll try these out, and you can rate them and see.
Was there not a, how you when feel. You when you first came? You had your first guest appearance as the food and wine and travel correspondent. Oh, is it raining?
Oh, it started to rain.
On the Gaze Into the Blue Light, mm-hmm. you talked about something with a car wash restaurant.
Oh my God. Yes. What was it? Hold on. Let me think.
It was like a place where you pull your car in to get washed. And while your car is getting washed, you
eat something.
Like some kind of food.
It's a fast food takeout. It was fast food takeout. So you pull up. I forget what the takeout was, though. Dang it. Hold on. Oh, my God. Let me look in my Venmo, because my friend Allie from Oregon, from Springfield, actually, she Venmo'd me right when that first started and was like, this is money for your fast food car wash research. And now I feel sad that I never did anything with that.
But what were you going to do?
I don't know. Make a restaurant? All right, my Venmo's really long. Hold on. Let me go back. Sorry, bear with me.
It's weird how Venmo is kind of like weird. Trying to be social media.
Yeah, it is, and it's obnoxious.
And I have a friend who will remain nameless, but they thought it would be hilarious to pay another friend back some money and then write blowjob.
Wow! And make it public?
And I had to remind him, I was like, you know, I can see that on your, like when I click on you, I can go through and see
wow.
everything you've paid people and what you wrote. I guess that came as a surprise to him.
Oh, but. Well, yep. You can definitely see it. I don't know. Anyway, I can't find it, but it was a fast food car wash combo, which I thought was a good idea. It's like a twofer, you know, you get two things done at once mm-hmm. and you would get the food first because usually the line is long. So the order line for food would come before the car wash kiosk. So you're essentially like order the food, you get it, and then you're just eating while you're in line to get to the car wash and then through the car wash. So then by the time you get out the car wash, you've eaten, gotten your car washed. I mean, come on, it's great.
That's genius.
Yeah, it's genius.
I don't see any reason
why. It's copyrighted, so don't think you can steal it.
I think you could definitely pull that off. Speaking of restaurants,
yes,
you want to talk a little bit about the latest season of Top Chef?
Yeah, we can't do spoilers, but
what we've been
in case people
watching.
Haven't watched it. But
we can't do spoilers.
So it's a different format this season.
But yeah, I mean, so Top Chef season 20. Is it season 20? Is
I think
in
so.
London.
Mm-hmm.
And it
London
is
calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a Top Chef World All-Stars.
Yes.
So all the contestants have either won or been a finalist mm-hmm. in one of the other the American or the other iterations of Top
yeah.
Chef around the world.
They don't have it in all countries, but I think it's like
so there's
London,
there's like winners and finalists from
Thailand, Mexico.
Yeah, like the Top Chef Mexico, Top Chef
Germany. There's someone from Poland.
Oh yeah, Poland. A couple American winners and finalists.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting to have that wide variety of
it's
styles
cool.
and accents and
yeah.
different people that are all like, if you're a finalist or a winner of Top Chef, you're no slouch.
So
like,
it's like the creme de la creme.
Yeah, it's all stars. Like everybody is legit. Like they're all very good.
No slouches.
So they all know what they're doing. So the stakes are definitely higher this season.
I like that about it. I think that, yeah, I like that element of it. I think that adds a new spin on it. I think they did that because it was the 20th season, and they were like, let's do something cool and like different. Same judges still there. Padma, Lakshmi, Best. I mean, they're all awesome. They're actually all best. The best.
I don't know. Tom
Padma,
rules.
Tom, Gail. They're so cool.
I think when you get all of these people that are really, you know, they're obviously like well known in their field and their mm-hmm. contestants. And like the one person was saying, she's been on Top Chef now 3 times. Like,
yeah.
Like you get these experienced competitors. There isn't any of the, at least not yet. We've only seen what, four or five episodes. Four. Everyone is still like pretty nice with each other, but mm-hmm. so far there haven't been those like people like trying to prove themselves mm-hmm. or ego people like, oh,
they've already done that. I mean, except for that Tom guy, he was kind of a dick. The one that just was competing. He did. I was going to say that it got voted off, but he didn't. So I didn't spoil anything. I wanted him to get voted off so bad. I do not like him. He is not a team player. No, do not like.
Well, anyway, there are, as the season goes on and things get heated a little bit more. And then, of course, I'm sure when we get to Restaurant Wars, there'll be the obligatory throw somebody under the bus, et cetera. But mm-hmm. these people are all professionals. Like yeah. they have established careers. They're not necessarily sure. Would they want to win? Of course, but
yeah, but they don't necessarily need it to like start a restaurant or something. They already have, like you said, they already have careers in restaurants. Yeah. It's interesting. I like that it's in London too. That's cool. That's a place you've wanted to go for a long time. London, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah, they do one of the episodes at Tottenham Hotspur Soccer Stadium.
Yeah, and Buckingham Palace, Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
the place, the castle of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, the locations are fun. The challenges seem good. Mm-hmm. This year I've been wanting to watch, they tricked us into watching
Last Chance Kitchen,
which we've never watched Last Chance Kitchen, but we did start watching mm-hmm. Last Chance Kitchen, I think.
Yeah, that's where they, like, the people that got voted out, they go and, like, compete to try to win a place back in to the show. But yeah, they totally tricked us into it because they ended the episode and then it was a Top Chance, Last Chance Kitchen shootout kind of thing.
Yeah. And you had to watch Last Chance Kitchen to see who won.
Yeah, it's a separate show. It was fine. Those are short, though. They're only like 10 minutes long, which I didn't know. If I would have known they were so short, I probably would have been more inclined to watch them right away.
True. I thought they were full shows.
Me too. I guess I was like, oh, I don't want to watch like 2 full like Top Chefs a week. But we've also been keeping up with the Evo Longoria show. That's been awesome. Searching for Mexico. We've also been watching Succession. Amazing.
This season of Succession has been...
It's wild.
Very good. Final season, so everything has a little bit more weight with it.
It's heightened.
I don't know which episode we just watched.
I think it was about the third or fourth, yeah.
That was a humdinger.
Ooh-wee.
It was good. What about Triangle of Sadness, which we watched...
Oh, yeah!
...during our...
During our sickness.
During the winter of our discontent.
This was a weird movie to watch while you're sick because there's a lot of like vomiting and diarrhea scenes. One epic vomiting scene, diarrhea scene.
And it goes on for a long time.
And we were just laying in bed like, dead, like dying. And like, this is kind of a weird thing to be watching right now.
The vomiting, food poisoning scene. So it's on a luxury yacht with a bunch of
entitled
rich people. The movie's broken up into 3 parts. Mm-hmm. The one is about the models and their kind of weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is all these rich people on the yacht and then bad things happen. And then they're like, some of the guests are stranded on an island afterwards. So there's like three distinct acts to it.
Yeah.
The vomiting, of course, happens to seasickness and food poisoning, I guess. I don't know, I wasn't really clear on why everybody started vomiting.
I wasn't clear either. I was uncertain. I had a theory that... Should we just, like, say this has spoilers and talk about
there it? There could be... Yeah.
There spoilers. Could be spoilers. Anyway, so Woody Harrelson is in it.
The captain.
He's not in... He's briefly in it. He's only in part two. He's awesome. I would have loved to have him, like, in the whole thing. More. But... I wanted him more. Yeah.
I don't like, yeah.
But he had a brief.
You watch the trailer and you're like, oh, Woody Harrelson's in it. Woody Harrelson,
awesome.
And he's not in.
It's pretty brief, his role. But the part where they're eating at the captain's dinner when they all get sick, Woody Harrelson is eating. They have like multiple courses of like golden platters with like cloches that like
squid
are
emulsion.
Squid emulsion, blah, blah, you know, all that kind of like fancy fine dining food. And he's just like, I'm just having a hamburger. And they just bring him a hamburger and he's like, I don't like fine dining. So that made me a little skeptical, and because he didn't get sick. So that made me skeptical that it was food poisoning, but it was also rough seas. And so I think it also could have been just people who aren't used to rough seas. Like it's nuts. You can get really sick.
And the preparation of dinner was set back because the one lady demanded that everybody go swimming.
Yeah.
So maybe that
if the fish sat out,
maybe some of that stuff sat out. The oysters sat out too long. Maybe that's why they got sick.
But. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that could be part of it. You watch it and let us know what you think. Those are our three theories about the sickness, but it was a really weird movie, but very good in my opinion.
I would say it was good, but there were some things about it that made it not great.
What were they for you?
Well, the first part, which was one, I do like it when movies are like broken up into like little stories and chapters.
Me too.
I like it when movies do that.
It's good for short attention spans.
But in this case, I felt like it didn't really work because the second chapter, the second act was by far and away the best while they were on the thing. I did not care about the two models arguing about money. I found it a tedious beginning.
But I think it set up that the movie was about money.
Yeah, no, I know. It set up a general theme of people being rich and having...
Being assholes.
And rich assholes is basic.
Let's call it what it is.
Rich assholes being the underlying theme. Rich assholes on a boat, sort of. But I didn't find it. Their acting was good. The theme of it I enjoyed. I didn't necessarily care about them arguing about that. I thought that was kind of boring. The boat scene was fun, although I feel like they kind of like hit us over the head with like communism and capitalism.
That was kind of weird. Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm smart enough to understand that you're the whole eat the rich, skewering people that are really wealthy and out of touch by putting them through everyday challenges. Like I'm smart enough to get that. I don't need to be hit over the head constantly by quoting Lenin or quoting Edward Abbey. I get it. You don't have to.
I thought that part was fine. I didn't hate that part.
I felt a little bit like, all right,
maybe that's probably because that's more of your like educational background, but for me that wasn't really mine, so I found that part to be interesting.
Okay, fair enough. And then I don't know whether so this is a spoiler about the end. I don't know. Skip ahead if you haven't seen the end. But I felt like the third act where the housekeeping woman sort of takes over was just a big dropped ball. And maybe in thinking about it, it was purposeful that way. But so there's a great scene where she takes the power. Yes. With the octopus.
Yes.
It's like, I'm the captain.
Yeah.
Great scene. And then what does she do with that? She just basically sleeps with a hot model guy. Which is one side. I'm like, what? That's so dumb. Like, why? We could have had like a whole Lord of the Flies like survival thing. We could have flipped society upside down and made a really cool idea about how she's the one with the power now. She can fish. She can make fire. But in the end, all she did was snuggle up with the model guy. Side
but
two.
But she did have the power. She had all the pretzels and the food.
I understand.
The water.
So what I'm saying is, I, as a viewer, was disappointed that she got all the power and all she did was trade pretzel sticks for sex with a model.
What would you want her to do?
Let me
kill people?
The other, I haven't gotten to the second side of the coin yet.
All right.
The second side of the coin is, oh, maybe that's a realistic portrayal of what really happens in the world when people get power. When you boil it down, what really do they do with their power than trade pretzel sticks for sex with a model? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, if you have a lot of power and control in society, do you really do much more than just give people pretzel sticks in exchange for sex with a model?
Not really.
So those are my two arguments with how the movie ends. Well, the real ending.
Don't say the real ending.
Cliffhanger ending. Yeah. I won't go into that, but
it's pretty.
The third act was my two sides of it, and I don't know how to reckon those two.
See, feelings. I kind of really liked the third. I think the third act was my favorite.
Because
I just loved how the person who I loved the idea of the person on the boat who was like under the boat, like down on her hands and knees scrubbing shit, then became the most powerful person on the island. And I love how that just, like, for me it was it almost, and I don't know a lot of like theories behind why the movie was made, but it was making me think of like the pandemic and how like when we were all stuck at home, like you realized how important like people who work at like grocery stores and nurses and all of those frontline people that still had to keep going to work when we were at home, like how important they are. So I feel like in some way it was sort of like that, where it was like all these like rich assholes had to realize like, no, you don't know how to do anything. All you know how to do is have money and look pretty. And this person knows how to do everything. Like, they can fish, they can get water, they can make fire, they can do all these things. And so now, like, you need them. Like, so I feel like it flipped it on the head a little bit and made it realize, like, no, these rich people are actually, like, worthless. Like, this person actually is doing everything. And I loved that she got power. I felt like it was like revenge and like an underdog kind of story. And I really liked that about it. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying about like her just like getting to have sex with the model and whatever that was, but I don't know how else she could have exerted power on an island. I just don't know what else she could have done. I think that was like the one way that she could exert power.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you want to make a story about people that get stranded on an island and the power structures that happen, that needs to be the entire story. But you only had one act at the end of a movie to.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I feel like that is even more of my criticism is like, which story do you want to tell? Because I feel like there were three stories.
Yeah.
The two models dealing with how the female model gets paid more, who pays. That could have been
gender roles.
They talk roles. A lot about gender roles, etc. That could have been a cool short film or something, maybe. And then you have the second act of the rich people on the yacht that all get sick and etc. Which is a good story in itself. And then you have the third one of the people stranded on the desert island. It just felt like, okay, which one do you want to pick and make it really good? Instead, there were three short things that were like left wanting. Each one was
Maybe they want that though. Maybe, like, I don't know, maybe a good movie is to leave you left like wanting more or left wondering and not have everything wrap up in a nice little package with a bow where everyone's like skipping off together like happy ending. Like maybe that's what makes a good movie though.
Maybe that's what the director was going for.
I thought the three acts were well balanced, but this is a good episode. I think we talked a lot about critics kind of stuff, you know? Like, it wasn't all, like, everything's great. I think we talked a lot about, you know, experiences that aren't so good or when you don't necessarily like a movie or a meal. So I think that's cool stuff to talk about.
We're great.
It's awesome.
All right. Well, that's episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah.
Wrapped up and in a basket.
Stay tuned for more.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.